Welcome back to our study of Numbers. We are in chapter 15, and we're going to pick up this evening with verse 32 of chapter 15. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him.
Now, if you remember the preceding verses, it's talking about intentional sin. We talked about unintentional sin and how there's sacrifice for unintentional sin and forgiveness for unintentional sin. But then we went to where there's a sinning against the Lord, to where there's willful sinning and no forgiveness. So they already have the law, the Ten Commandments, to keep the Sabbath day, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. They have that. And so when they see this man gathering wood on the Sabbath day, to where work is not to be done, then they confront him and they bring him to Moses and Aaron, all the congregation. They don't know specifically what to do. They know he's violated the law, but they don't know what's to be done with him. And so they put him in what we would say jail today. They put him, incarcerated him until they could find out from the Lord what to do. Now, to me, there's a valuable principle in this. You don't just assume things. Mama used to tell me, don't get your exercise by jumping to conclusions. Okay, and so get the mind of the Lord. Always get the mind of the Lord. Even if you've been in a situation and the Lord has said this, just like with David going against the Philistines, he went this way. God said, go this way. He was successful. They came right back to the same place. He sought God again rather than assuming he could do the same thing he did before. And so always seek the counsel of God. When you do not have a clear direction, wait. Don't let people push you into making an unwise decision. As the oversight of a church, you know, I've had situations where people would try to push me to make a decision. It's not that I didn't see things. I didn't have direction on how to deal with it. And you don't fight flesh with flesh. This is a spiritual thing. Mm-hmm. And so you have to get the mind of the Lord. If you don't get the mind of the Lord, you can do a whole lot of damage. You understand? And so they have this man incarcerated until they get direction from the Lord. And they don't delay. Moses goes before the Lord to find out what to do with it.
And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses.
So Moses got direction from the Lord. The Lord said, execute him, okay? A lot of people just cringe at this. How could a loving God do whatever? Because God means what he says. He says what he means. And when you violate that, you're actually killing yourself. You understand? And so not only does the Lord tell him to execute, but he tells him how to go about the execution. All the congregations to take him outside the camp. This is not just the men that saw him, but the whole congregation. This is not a vindictive thing. This is executing justice in Israel to keep the judgment of God from coming on the nation of Israel for not obeying him. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think about this, when Achan sinned under Joshua's leadership, when it went in, defeated Jericho, that was everything was to be devoted to God, and he took something. And then when they went up against Ai, they were unsuccessful. And when Joshua goes before the Lord and he tells him, Israel has sinned. He didn't say Achan. One man was affecting an entire nation. And God would not be with them in battle until they eradicated that sin out of the nation. And so they're eradicating sin. And if you just look at it naturally, you think you're killing a person. No, you're taking the sin out of the camp is what you're doing. Okay? And so when you look at it that way, then God's always just. God's always fair. So God's doing what's in the best interest of the nation of Israel. Okay? And we have to learn to do things God's way. Some things are hard. But you have to do it. You understand? Anybody that thinks overseeing a church is easy, they've never been in the position. Because there's some things that you have to do that you know that people aren't going to like. But if God has given you a mandate to do that, you don't have a choice. Well, you have one, but you're crazy if you violate him, I can tell you that. And so we're getting sin out of the camp. That's what they're doing, getting sin out of the camp. This is to be a righteous nation. I mean, if you look at the name of Israel, Michaela, if you would, in the dictionary, you can pull up just on, where you can do it on the internet, English or whatever. No. Go to, just type in Israel in the Hebrew. And let me know when you get that.
Did you want it
the name Israel
in PC Study Bible, or what? Do you want it in PC Study Bible, or do you want it on the internet?
Yeah, PC Study Bible.
On PC Study Bible. Okay, so Israel 34:78. If you go to the Greek Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And the number, Strong's number, Strong's, and type in the 34:78. It says, He will rule as God.
That's what the name Israel means. And so when you see the nation Israel, He rules as God. Well, there can't be sin in the camp. It's got to be righteous, okay? So they're representatives of God to rule as God, so they need to be like God. And you can carry that over to the church, the body of Christ, okay?
That's good. Verse 37. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bind them, that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put on the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be... I'll stop right there. I'm sorry.
Okay, so keep in mind, just keep the context right here. So the Lord tells Moses to tell the Israelites to make tassels and sew them on the edge of their garments. And they're to attach these tassels with violet thread, if you look at the definition. And every generation was to obey this command. Now there's a reason for this. Go ahead and read the next verse.
Okay. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring.
So everyone has these tassels on the edge of their garment, okay? And so when you see anyone or anyone sees you, that's to remind you that you're to adhere to the law, not follow the flesh or the desires of the eye, but to adhere to the law. Now I go back to that name, ruling as God. This is far more profound, I think, than anybody realizes. The whole purpose, God selecting Israel, obviously started with Abraham, then Isaac, and then Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, because God said he was going to make a mighty nation out of him, a nation that would be distinct from any other nation, the nation that was God's representative on earth to rule as God. You follow me? Which is a type and shadow of the church, which is to rule as God. You do. I don't know that people understand that. We have not only the right, but the obligation to continue what Jesus began. In Acts, the first chapter, when Luke writes to Theophilus, Theophilus, the former trees I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now, the underlying message is that it didn't not to stop with Jesus leaving the earth. He started it, and so now, through the Holy Spirit being sent down and developing a church, selecting people out of the mass, okay, that's what church is, called out, then they're to carry on the ministry that Jesus did. What was Jesus' ministry? Ruling over the devil. You think about it. When you just get down to the bottom line of it, he's overruling the devil. Okay? And so through Israel or through the body of Christ, it's God ruling through them. And so in this case, he said, put those tassels on those garments and always remind yourself the word of God's ruling, not you. You stay with the word. You stay with the word. That's why he tells us to keep this word before us. You understand? That's why we put so much emphasis on reading and studying the word. When you look at that word and that word gets in you to where that word governs you, the kingdom of God is ruling on earth. You don't have to die and go to heaven. You understand? If he's not ruling now, you could be in for a rude awakening. You understand? If I don't want to be in his presence now, and I don't want God to rule me now, why would I throughout eternity? And I believe it starts now. But I want you to see the significance of that name, Israel. It's not by chance. You understand, God gave him that name. God knew the definition of the name. You understand? He gave him that name, and then he gives them this mandate. You put this on your robe. You remind yourself, God's ruling. God's ruling. If the word of God, if you're submitted to the word of God, then God's ruling. That's why he could tell you in Deuteronomy 28, he could tell that nation, now, if you'll obey my statutes, you do everything that I've told you to do, you'll be blessed above all the nations of the earth. You'll be the head. You won't be the tail. You'll be above. The above is ruling, okay? And not the beneath. But it's contingent upon God ruling. You with me? The reason the church is not as impactful today as it's supposed to be is because God's not ruling in the people's lives. They go by the world, not by the word. They go by what's popular. What does the crowd say? What does religion say? What does the denomination say? And my question's always, what does God say? It's not what they say, it's what he says. He wants to rule on earth as it is in heaven, so his will can be done here. And it's dependent upon us properly representing him, and I promise you, you won't properly represent him till the Word of God governs your life.
So we must not seek after our own heart.
Excuse me?
We must not seek after our own hearts and our own eyes. We have to be mindful that we are who it is that we're seeking counsel from to make decisions. Because if we rely on what the news tells us to do, we'll miss God. We saw it, and Pete brings this example up, but we saw it with the COVID. You can't go to church. If you rely on what the news tells you, you miss. God said, don't forsake the assembling. You see what I mean? And so also, sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Thinking about looking at things through your own eyes. How many of us, or how many do you think in Israel would have said, yeah, killing that man for picking up six, was that's right, that's what we need to do. We can't rely on our own understanding. We're to trust him with all our heart.
Here's our problem, is we look at ourselves as natural,
yeah,
and we don't see ourselves as spiritual. And when he says we've passed from death to life, he's not talking about natural. He's talking about spiritual. And when he tells in Romans 12:1 to present your bodies, he's talking to the spirit. Spirit man, present the house that you live in. But instead of seeing ourselves as spiritual beings, or instead of viewing other people as spiritual beings, we just look at them natural, and then we make our judgments from a natural perspective. We're not seeing the spirit. If you see the spirit, you won't have trouble with people. You have trouble with people when you look at the flesh. When you see the spirit, you see that's demonic. That person is bound. That person's under them. That person's a victim. But what do we see? Ourselves as a victim. Not understanding what we're dealing with. And so then flesh wants to lash out at flesh, or argue with flesh, or draw the battle lines. You've got to see things from a spiritual perspective. And conversely, you can be duped by just looking at the natural, which may appear to be so beautiful, so good, and all this other stuff. But who's the person? And I'm not telling you that I've arrived yet, but I've been working on this for years. Paul said, I don't want to know anybody by the flesh, not even Jesus. And so we try to know people by the Spirit. Matter of fact, we were just talking about this this afternoon. There's just certain people that you know immediately. Everything on the outside looks good, but there's something wrong.
Right.
spirit's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what am I doing? Now, I'm not the judge, but I'm going to guard my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be taken in by what's going on outside.
Yeah.
You follow me? You better learn to do that. Or you may look at the outside and pass a wrong opinion
mm-hmm.
when you got to see the heart of a person. And this is what God does. God looks at the heart.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't look at my flesh when I wasn't living for God. God looked at the heart and saw what would be, not what was going on at the time. You understand? And it's like that with every one of us. I thank God that He doesn't judge after the flesh, but He looks at the heart. And we've got to learn to look at the heart of people. You miss some of the most beautiful people in the world by not going below the surface.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to look at the heart. What's the heart? I've seen people that, you know, you just glance at them. They may not be appealing, but you get to know them. They're beautiful. And conversely, you see a beautiful person, you get to know them. You don't even want to be around them. Because when you find out who they really are, you with me? We've got to learn to look at things the way God does by the Spirit. And He expects that. This is why He tells us to be led by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. These are not suggestions. They're actually mandates. And all that simply means it's not something mystical. It's walk from the inside instead of the outside. Look from the inside instead of the outside. Make sure that you're seeing the real thing, not the facade that's been placed out in front of you, okay? So God can rule. So God can rule. You're more powerful than you think you are.
Mm.
Far more powerful. If the kingdom of God's ruling in you, what can't God do? It's the flesh that limits God. Right? God, He lives in us. He was in the midst of the nation of Israel, but He lives in us. And we've got to get that revelation and constantly remind ourselves, there's somebody in me and it ain't me. You understand? What did Paul say? For me to live is Christ. It's a pretty bold statement, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what the body of Christ is all about. It's representing Christ on earth, just as the nation of Israel was selected to represent Christ on earth. And you won't do it if you don't keep the Word of God before you. You can't go by emotions. You know, you can feel sorry for the man. You know, well, let's give him a second chance, and let's do this, and let's do that. But this man, that was an example to the nation that God is not playing around. God means what He says. God says what He means. We're to represent God. Keep God before your eyes. You let God rule this nation. Don't you be influenced by flesh. You be influenced by the Spirit.
Amen. That's very good. Now, thinking about these tassels that they wore, that they would put on their garments to serve as a reminder to keep the Word of God before them. We have to have our own reminders, don't we? Keep the Word of God before us. Otherwise, our days get so busy and it can get away with us. I know I've told y'all at least a couple of times, I've got this sticky note that I put up in my bathroom right beside my mirror that I see every time I walk in there. And the Lord spoke it on a Sunday message, and He said, I'll meet you in my word anytime you want. That's a good reminder to me. I see that and I read it. I think, yeah, Jesus, I want to meet with you. Let's do it. We have to keep this word before us. It's vital.
You know, Proverbs 4, he says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes." You don't take a vacation from the Word. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the very center of your heart. I was talking about the spiritual being, not physical organ. Because they're life
right.
for those that find them. And health, all their flesh. And he said, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the very forces of life.
That's good. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to cut this thing off. You go ahead.
I did.
Putting off an odor there.
That you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. That's the reason for those tassels on the garments.
As the Esther reminder, I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt. I mean, supernatural. You're coming out of Egypt was supernatural. There's no way you could have done that on your own. So God, our God is a supernatural God. But isn't it amazing how we want to think of him from natural terms?
Yeah.
And we see the devil more powerful than God. Yes, the devil does supernatural things because it's beyond flesh, okay? But God wants us to understand that he's transformed our lives. He took our lives out of the control of the devil. And that's far more profound than you think. I can tell by your response. Okay? But how he just miraculously saves us. Takes us out of darkness to where we're walking dead men. We're blind. We think we're having fun. And we're going 90 miles an hour down a dead-end street. Crash is inevitable, and God just intervenes
yeah.
and delivers us.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And so allowing God to rule you is really a personification of God's love. You think about it. We think it's restriction. No, it's love. It's love. I don't want you to kill yourself. I don't want you to self-destruct.
Mm-hmm.
I think about things I used to do and how thinking I was having fun. Not knowing that you're playing Russian roulette. You're gambling with your own life. You're doing some stupid things. I mean, things that could kill you.
Literally.
I just got an email from a friend of mine from years back, and he said, "I still have etched in my mind some stupid thing that I did. That it's the grace of God that I'm alive today." I'm going to tell you that right now.
They didn't do it just once, you did it twice.
No, that one was once. The other okay. was twice.
Lord protected them.
Some of us are slow learners, okay?
Serious.
And I was supposed to be the example. Isn't that amazing? To lead people in the wrong direction.
But you think about this command of why they were to God, so that they would remain God's holy people. That's the same for us today. We should be identified as God's holy people. It should be easy for others to identify us. That person's distinctly different.
But the average church today, the world would not identify them as holy people. I've had people to tell me, I don't go to church because everybody in there is hypocrites. That's the attitude. And I can't really argue it too much. It's not everybody. But boy, there's a lot. They live one way on Sunday, but they follow their ways and actions during the week, and you find that they're just like the world. You cross them and see if they don't come back at you, and it won't be a Christ-like spirit, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
No, we're to be the example, just like Israel was to be the example. This is why there were such stringent laws on the nation of Israel. They didn't have the Spirit in them to guide them, so they had to have rules to govern the flesh. Now, when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you don't need rules and regulations to govern your flesh. Your spirit is to govern your flesh. You're led by the Spirit of God. You understand? You don't need a handbook that says you can't do this, you can't do this, you can do this, but you can't do that. No, you teach people the Word of God, and the Word of God will hold you in check. I tell people I sin all I want to. I just don't want to. Does that make sense to you? Your desires change. And that's the best governor in the world, is you don't want to do it. You want to please God. And so because you want to please God, you're not comfortable in that other environment. I was telling Heather today, before, if I'm speaking, I don't want to be around people. I don't want to hear problems. I don't want to hear this. I want to get my mind on the Lord and keep my mind on the Lord. But it's amazing how many people want to dump their problems on you 5 minutes before you stand up to speak. And you've got to get you've got to get your mind. I don't want my mind on that. I want my mind on what God wants to do right now. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And unless you've been there, people can't understand ministry. They don't understand the seriousness of ministry. They don't understand the awesome responsibility that's on the minister. That's why, it's like Sundays. I don't go home. I don't want to be in any environment. I just want to be in a spiritual environment that's not where I have to deal with this, 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 and this. I want to be where I get the mind of God. I want to be where it's just, an environment of peace with the Lord. Then you're in a position to hear from the Lord. But if you're dealing with all this, that, and the other, it could just be just casual stuff. I'm not talking about bad stuff. You get about this, you get about that, this person saying this, this person that, this person telling this joke, this person telling that joke. That stuff will affect you. And so I've always made it a point to get by myself before I go out to speak. So, if you think I'm a hermit, just humor me. I'm not trying to ignore people. I'm trying to hear God. Okay? And you'd do well to follow that pattern.
Very good. Verse 41, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God.
Who is your God?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing God had to remind them? He had to constantly remind them. And we need to constantly remind ourselves, I'm not God, so I don't have the right to rule my life. If I'm going to say Jesus is Lord, then I need to sit down and shut up and listen. And people would do well if they do that. What do you want, Lord? Not what do I want. Well, they said, what's God say? I've had people say the devil's been saying this. I say, you listening to the devil? You know it's the devil and you listening to it? We've got a problem here. What's God saying? You don't entertain those things. Get your mind off of it and keep your mind on the Lord. Is that too hard for you? I'm telling you, it's in your best interest. Okay? All right, it'll be in my best interest to take a break here.
Just real quick, if y'all humor me just 1 second. We have all been brought out of our own Egypt.
Yes,
we've all
absolutely.
Come out of our own Egypt. And so it's not that we need to live in the past by any stretch of the imagination, but it does do us well to be thankful for the one and to the one that has brought us out from our bondage. Amen.
My past does not haunt me. No, yours shouldn't haunt you. Learn from it. Help people so they don't do the same things you did. You understand? Just use things as a teaching tool. I choose whether or not I think about that. I was in a setting Monday where a guy started talking to me about people I was associated with many, many years ago in the racing days and all that. Now, I've got to block that. When I walk out of that place, I have to forget that. And don't sit there and think about this. And people say, the good old days. No, they were not the good old days. Thank God they are the old days. This is the good day.
Yeah.
The day the Lord's made. Amen.
Amen. Okay.